I wonder if you like surprises. Do you like surprises? Anybody willing to admit that they like surprises? Any of the boys and girls willing to say they like surprises? Pop up your hand if you like surprises. You do. Surprises are funny things, aren't they? Some surprises are good, and some surprises are bad. The good ones are when somebody gives you a gift, or when they say something that's really nice about you. That's a lovely kind of surprise to have. The bad kind of surprise to have is when you get a bill that you didn't expect, or somebody walks up behind you and shouts boo in the corridor when you weren't looking. Some things really shouldn't be surprises at all, should they? Because they're only a surprise if we weren't paying attention. I remember years ago when my wife and I were first married, I parked in a town I didn't know, and made the mistake of parking for a long time in a short stay car park. Anybody else ever done this? And the sad part is, the real surprise when you wind down your window and the man at the ticket booth says, "That'll be £5, sir." And you say, "But I've only been here 2.5 hours." He said, "In which case you should have paid 60p in the long stay car park just up the road." It's a surprise because I wasn't paying attention. And the question that we've got to tackle this morning is whether or not Easter was a surprise. Whether or not Easter was a surprise. Now I need one of the children to help me with a surprise. This is a Mars Easter egg, and it says contains milk chocolate egg and a fun size bar. I need one of the children to come and open this for me. And the deal is this, that you're not allowed to eat the chocolate egg, okay, because I'm keeping that for everybody else, and we'll chop it up later and people can have a little piece with their coffee or tea or whatever, or the kids can anyway. But you can keep whatever you find inside. Okay? So you can't eat the chocolate egg, but you can keep whatever you find inside. Would you like to come and open it for me? Come and join me. Okay. Now, all you've got to do is just, you know how to open one of these? Go on. Well, I'll help you a bit. Pull that like that. Now, just turn around so you can... What's your name?
Zoe.
Zoe, okay. Now, you open it up, Zoe, and you can keep whatever you find inside. I'll take that bit. Open it up. Go on. Oh, there's... Now, the question is, what's inside? You can keep whatever you find it... Oh. Just show everybody what's inside. You happy about that?
Yes.
An empty fun size bar. You can keep that. That's really good. Hang on just a minute. There's the bar that was in it. You can keep that. Thank you, Zoe, very much for being such a good sport. Things can be like that, can't they? That you expect something if you're paying close attention. And Zoe expected to find on the inside a fun-sized bar. And of course she was disappointed. After Mary found the tomb empty on that first Easter day, the Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 9 that we read a few moments ago, and the next one, they still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The disciples found it a surprise because they hadn't been listening to what the Bible had said. Everybody thought it was a surprise because they hadn't been paying attention. And when Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to his disciples, he told them in Luke chapter 24 that we read a few moments ago, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. To them, to the disciples, Easter was a huge surprise. They had expected him as the Messiah, the promised king, to come and to boot out the Romans and to claim a big crown and to be all powerful. The last thing they expected was for him to die. And after that, they certainly didn't expect him to rise again from the dead. So they went to the tomb that morning, just to kind of tidy up his dead body a bit. And what did they find? That he was alive. It wasn't a surprise. It was never meant to be a surprise. If you were to read in your Bible earlier in Jesus' life what he told his disciples, then you'd understand very clearly. As Peter told him in the middle of Luke's Gospel, in the middle of Mark's Gospel, in answer to the question, who are you? As Peter said to him, well, you're the Christ, you're God's promised King, you're the Messiah who is to come into the world. So Jesus replied, listen, that's going to mean this, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed. And on the third day, he must be raised to life. It shouldn't have been a surprise to them, because they should have been listening, but they weren't. Later in Jesus' life, after being asked by a rich young man how to get to heaven, and after replying to him, Jesus, we're told in Luke chapter 18, took the 12 aside, his 12 disciples, and he told them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and insult him. They will spit on him and flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. On that Easter Sunday morning, the disciples were huddled together in a little house, all with the doors locked and terrified, because as far as they were concerned, the Savior of the world who they had put their trust in was dead. But if only they had read their Bibles. They didn't have the New Testament as we did, of course. They were living the New Testament. But they did have the Old Testament. And all of this, says Jesus, is about the fact that Jesus, God's Son, is going to come, is going to be God's promised rescuer, is going to die, is going to take the punishment that they deserve and we deserve. And after 3 days, he's going to rise again from the dead. And Jesus hadn't just told them that the Bible said it, he told them himself that that's exactly what was going to happen. They didn't believe. It was a surprise because they weren't listening. It wasn't a surprise, it was foretold. It wasn't a surprise. It was foretold when it comes up. In other words, this is what God had planned to happen, and he told them so as well. I wonder what you think the message of Easter is. To some people, Easter is all about God's plan having gone wrong, and he suddenly thought, well, I know, I'll bring him back to life again. Other people will claim that Jesus never died in the first place. Other people will say that it's all a load of rubbish and that it isn't true and that you can't believe it and so on. If you haven't got this thought right, then you haven't understood the message of the Bible. The world is full of people who don't understand Easter because they don't want to. The Da Vinci Code book that is being published at the moment and about which there's going to be a film made, or a film has been made and launched in a few weeks' time, takes the message of the Bible and bungs a whole pile of other stuff to squash it so that we don't believe that Jesus is alive. And it's not true. God had said that this is exactly what was going to happen. And it's not even that the New Testament is news. The New Testament was simply proving that it was true, that what God had said was going to happen, happened. That Jesus died to take the punishment that you and I deserve for living as if God isn't there. And that as he rose again after 3 days, having had to suffer, as he rose again from the dead on the third day, he proved that his rescue had been accepted, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins could be preached in his name to all nations. Jesus said to his disciples on that day that we would be doing this right here, right now. The good news will be preached to all nations in Chippenham, as well as through one day, as well as through the rest of the world. The message of Easter to us this morning is not just that Jesus is alive. It's that God loved you and me so much, he sent Jesus to die for us and raised him again from the dead. Here's the question that we need to ask. He is offering us living hope, real life, that by turning from our own self-centeredness in repentance and in trusting him to forgive us for our rebellion against God, our sins, we too can know that real life that is offered to us on Easter Sunday in Jesus. There's a variety of people here this morning. Some of you have heard this message for tens of years. Some of you have been hearing it just for a few years. All of us need to say, Jesus is my King and my Lord. He died to save me. Please, God, save me in Jesus' name. Will you do that today? Will you do that today? You can do that just where you are, just by praying right now. Ask him to be your King and your Lord and your Savior, and know that it's worked because he died for you and rose again from the dead. Easter is a promise. Easter is true. Easter is real. Jesus is alive. How would it be if when Zoe had come out a moment ago and I had offered her the real contents of that packet, as I stretched out my hand to give it to her, she had simply looked me straight in the face and said, no. And yet that is what people do with God all the time. As Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Son of Man, he said, came to seek and to save what was lost. God offers you and me forgiveness of sins if we will turn to him and repent and put him first and be forgiven. Don't reject him. Ask him to rescue you.